KALW.
It is looking like they are going to be making cuts. They are cutting our vacation time from 11 days a year to 8 days a year.
As of today, most Bay Area residents have been sheltering in place for a month.
What's driving me crazy or becoming annoying is wearing this mask for 8 hours at a time. They stink, they smell nasty, they're uncomfortable, they blow hot breath back on my face.
As part of our Quarantine Diaries series, we'll hear from people all around the Bay about daily life during the coronavirus epidemic. And we'll find out how the pandemic is changing immigration courts in San Francisco.
People were really freaking out, like, what's going to happen? Is this going to be a death sentence for us?
That's coming up. I'm Henat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Because of the coronavirus, justice is moving more slowly in California. Jury trials have been suspended, hearings have been delayed, but immigration courthouses are still open, and some advocates worry that puts people at risk of exposure. But closing down immigration court poses other dangers, too. Francisco Ugarte is an immigration attorney with San Francisco's Public Defender's Office. KALW Justice reporter Holly J. McDeed asked him about how this pandemic has changed deportation hearings.
There were calls nationally to close all courts, and we actually objected to that. So if people are detained in custody, they need access to justice, and sticking someone in jail without ever getting a chance to go to court is, you know, terrifying. Imagine that. And so we were opposed to that. However, the court was just so slow to respond to this crisis. I sent an email to the presiding judge in San Francisco, to the court staff, and to immigration, the lead immigration attorney for ICE, about how really ridiculous it was for me to be filing documents in paper during a shelter-in-place order when you could easily send them fax filing. So I sent a long email. I never got a response from that email, but I've never gotten a response from really any real substantive communication from the presiding judge of the immigration courts in San Francisco, who, by the way, is located in Detroit. We do not have a line of communication with the courts. They ignore us and they refuse to talk to us. And they usually say, well, we're not allowed to talk to you because of Washington. Or we have no authority because everything's coming from Washington. And just really shocking that in a level of crisis where all of our health, the health of all of us is at stake, that they're not communicating with us about how to do things right. Now, court is still in session. The detained courts, judges are still showing up. Government attorneys are still showing up. And our attorneys periodically are showing up. Every time you walk in, the guards are really standing close together. And you're thinking, what is going on here? But it just seems like different people take this virus. They have different ways of dealing with it.
So as the virus starts to spread, does the unit ramp up the effort to release more people? And what does that look like, given all that has changed in how immigration court is functioning right now?
When word got to the detainees that this was happening, there was legitimate fear. People were really freaking out, like, what's going to happen? Is this going to be a death sentence for us? You know, our unit primarily practices in the immigration courts doing deportation defense. We realized immediately that these courts, which unfortunately have been really politicized and where standards of getting someone released are so strict, we knew that we had to get some kind of other intervention and go to the federal courts. We prepared and filed a lawsuit on behalf of 13 vulnerable detainees, all with underlying health conditions, and we showed how this virus is spreading quickly in jails. I think here in San Francisco, you know, 100 people tested positive at a homeless shelter recently. And, you know, shelters are probably the most analogous congregate living spaces to what our clients are dealing with. Of course, our clients are involuntarily put there, but viruses can spread like wildfire in a detention facility. And so we demanded their release, and we actually got a victory last week from the court ordering the release of four of those plaintiffs. This week, two more were ordered release. So we're elated about that. But the reality is that's just not enough.
Are there impacts that you're worried about that will continue after this crisis is over?
Very much so. So what the court is doing now is they're not permitting witnesses to come in person to the court. And they're having them either go telephonic or simply submit a declaration where the witness isn't allowed to be examined or cross-examined. And so the more we automate, there's a strong danger that what little protections that immigrants have in detained proceedings will be lost in the future, specifically the right to call and introduce live witnesses to support your case. We are worried that court organization could change. So suddenly there's fewer detained courts in San Francisco. So people could be arrested in San Francisco and their family members could be taken like miles and miles away to facilities which with very few due process rights and very few remedies. So there is definitely a danger in these expanding technology capacities, and we have to make sure we have fundamental due process protections in whatever technology that we bring so we can actually expand and promote due process instead of limit it.
That was immigration attorney Francisco Ugarte speaking with KALW's justice reporter, Holly J. McDeed. You can hear more of Holly's reporting at kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. It's been a month since health officials across the Bay Area ordered residents to shelter in place. Since then, a team of KALW reporters has been checking in regularly with a mix of people from all around the Bay to see how the pandemic is affecting our lives. We call it the Quarantine Diaries. This week, we'll hear from a public defender, a high school student, a new parent, and a single parent, a delivery driver, and more. Together, this group is sketching out our new shared reality and how the pandemic is changing how we live and how we work.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I am a product designer living in the Oakland Hills. It is day 24 of the quarantine. I think I'm going through the depression phase. Like, I've accepted that this is my existence, that it's indefinite. I got up today, I called my best friend, Sarah, and we actually had a conversation that was, like, interesting. Because, like, a lot of the time, we'll just talk, and it's like we're saying the same things to each other. And we're so meta that we'll be like, oh, we're talking about the same shit again. And she just says, yeah, Ryan is really obsessed about bread. And like, he keeps baking sourdough bread. We have that conversation every day. I tell her that I love her. She says, I love you too, like five times. You know, I'll just say that because I don't know what else to say. But today we had an interesting conversation. We talked about like little minute details of our lives. And that was interesting because there was new information. My dad is a conspiracy theorist. Like, he's a doomer. He's a boomer doomer. He bought all this shit for an earthquake, you know? Like, he has like these gallons of water and he has like all this dried food. And it's like, why do you have so many cans of tuna when you don't even like tuna?
Today is day 25. I'm a shift manager at a grocery store in Sacramento. We've instituted limiting the number of people that come into the store at a time. So we've got a limit of 50 customers. Another thing that's changing is that we will start making all of our shopping aisles one way. Yesterday, I guess, I was told that there was a physical altercation. There was a gentleman who wanted to come into the store. He said he needed to go to the restroom. And, you know, the person guarding the door told him that he had to wait in line like everybody else. And he tried to push his way past, and it got physical. What's driving me crazy or becoming annoying is wearing this mask for 8 hours at a time. They stink, they smell nasty, they're uncomfortable, they blow hot breath back on my face. I want a better mask solution.
My name is Ariel DeAndrea, and today is day 25 of Shelter in Place. It's not so much that I am missing people, honestly, at this point. I think I am missing people, and I have some anxiety around not being around my parents right now, but I just really started feeling like I needed to go out into nature, like see the ocean. I spent like a good half a day trying to find a park or any public space that you're allowed to be in, and it's like everything is closed. I don't even know what you're allowed to do anymore. It just started making me feel like really claustrophobic, like I don't even understand what public space is anymore. I grew up in Santa Cruz, California. Sometimes I just need to be able to see infinity and beyond.
I'm Lindsay, and I'm a speech-language pathologist, but I am currently on extended maternity leave. I've been thinking that this whole quarantine thing is pretty much the same as my first 2 months of maternity leave. You know, you're stuck at home, stay in the same clothes you wore like 3 days in a row, your hygiene is lacking, except I get more sleep now. That's probably the only difference.
Today is April 12th. I forgot what quarantine day it is now. I finally got my debit card with my funds on it. I did see that we're supposed to be getting $600 more the next one. So, yay. I did get a little bit of information from a coworker about the future of our company. It is looking like they are going to be making cuts. They are cutting our vacation time from 11 days a year to 8 days a year. We used to get paid a half-hour lunch. We're not getting that anymore. The raises that people had just gotten, they're not getting anymore. So it dawned on me that I might be let go, because in my head, I'm thinking, if they didn't choose me to work from home, I'm pretty much replaceable. But I don't want to stress off of that too much. Luckily, I am a nurse, so I can find work in other places. Things will work out. I'm going to be working on my resume and trying to apply for jobs wherever I can. The bright side is I get to spend time with my kid. This was my first full-time job since having my son, and I felt like I haven't been there. So now, it feels good to be here, make meals, help him with homework, just being here with him. Excuse my nose, I have allergies, probably a cold.
My name is Andrew Sampek. I'm a rideshare driver in San Francisco. It's currently day 27. It's also my birthday today, which is weird, with all these people dying. You know, they don't get to celebrate their next birthday. Not that I'm having a huge party or anything, because I spent today driving and delivering food to people. So yesterday was Easter Sunday. And so much different than last year. Last year when I was driving around, just about any restaurant you can think of in the city, even Mel's Diner. They were all completely packed, lines out the door with people waiting. This year there are no lines. The only people waiting were delivery drivers waiting to pick up orders for people. I had one ride yesterday, and that was an elderly lady that was going to see her family, regardless of the shelter in place order. She had cancer, and I asked her, isn't she worried about the coronavirus? She said, well, no, I've got cancer, so either way, I'm dying. And she said that doctors gave her 36 months to live, and that was about 3 months ago. So she said, you know, any time now is my time. I asked her, I said, well, you know, if you had a choice, would you rather go out with the coronavirus, or would you rather let cancer take you? And she said, quite frankly, at this point, I can see positives in the coronavirus because, yeah, you might have trouble breathing for a few days, but they'll put you in a coma, and then that's it. You go to sleep, and you just never wake up. And I wouldn't mind that. With the pain that I have to deal with on a daily basis, it's just not worth the time and trouble. So, yesterday on Easter was going to be her last Easter Sunday with her family. I think everybody kind of lives their life thinking, it won't happen to me. And then it does. I just hope when my time comes, I'm as positive about it as she was. She looked like she had no regrets.
It's day 27 of Shelter in Place. I'm Hannah, a high school senior from San Jose, California, who is currently attending online school and is now on break. This morning, I went on a hike with my family outside. It was super relaxing, and as I was walking, there weren't that many people, maybe a few individuals I saw on bikes, and a lot of people were wearing masks. It was kind of interesting because we would be walking on like the same path, and like if we were going one direction and they were going like the opposite direction, people would like stop and they would wait for you to like pass by or just like stand to the side to ensure that there was a 6 feet distance. And I honestly thought it was kind of cool that we all had this code to just see society working together to ensure that no more people get sick. So we continued hiking up the mountain. And it was just gorgeous, just like looking afar. And you know, when you're in a crisis, it feels like everything around you is just like really messy and crazy. But when you're looking up there, everything just looks peaceful. And just like in that moment, while I was just looking up, looking into the distance and looking at this valley, it just was a really calming experience, as if everything was going to be okay.
My name is Carmen Aguirre, and today is day 27 of the shelter-in-place order. I work at the San Francisco Public Defender's Office. The rights in the Constitution include things like the right to confront witnesses, the right to a speedy trial, and we're not able to follow those right now. There's just something so eerie to me about the fact that what's happening right now is undermining the document, the founding document of our republic. And I was in court a couple of days ago, and I was processing people that were being arraigned or had their first appearance in court. And even reading these police reports of like vandalism in the middle of the day, I had this picture in my mind of downtown as just being almost like Blade Runner or something. I've actually dreamt about it. Because we're not out and about. I don't see the street. So I have this, like, in my imagination, what the street looks like now. And personally, while this is scary and overwhelming, I also keep wondering if we're going to find a morality. You know, I'm trying to find hope.
So this is day 28. This last week for me has been pretty stressful. I haven't been sleeping well. Just sort of worrying about the patients under my care and how alone they are more than anything else. The facilities are closed to all visitors with the exception of staff and essential visits. And that would fall only under end of life, but my patient population is pretty frail, and sometimes they take a turn for the worse rather quickly. And unfortunately, family members aren't able to come by and see their loved ones before they pass. So more than anything else, I think the loneliness of my patients and the lack of family contact that they have takes a detriment on them, and I really feel for them. I read a news story the other day of San Francisco police busting a underground club, and that made me upset that these people are so selfish to hold this gathering when I have patients literally dying with nobody at their bedside alone during their last moments because people couldn't bother to stay home. So it's tough. It's tough. I really hope people hear this and take this message to heart so that we can end this crisis sooner rather than later.
Day 29. I'm Sarah, a designer. I broke quarantine yesterday. I went to my friend's house and we had pina coladas. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I've been in here with no contact with anybody for a month, and so is she. So I thought, safe. She doesn't seem too squirmish about it. And then I have, like, all of these COVID blood tests that my dad got on the black market. Really, he just has a connection to Poland and they have some. So it's like an antibody blood test. So it tells you if you have antibodies to it. I'm, like, negative. I have never had it and I've never been exposed.
My name is Reverend Monique Ortiz with Santa Maria y Santa Marta Lutheran Church and the San Francisco Night Ministry. We're in the heart of the mission. Today is the 29th day of shelter in place. Well, I think we're all going through it. Right now, I do have some folks that have COVID-19, but they're okay. And yet, as pastors, we wouldn't be able to be near the family like we usually would. Some of my members are undocumented. They can't claim unemployment. And I mean, every single day that they go to work makes a difference whether they're going to have food on the table or not, whether they're going to have a roof over their head or not. I really fear for life. I know one in particular member of mine, of my church, you know, has had thoughts of taking her life. I feel what's happening, and I am concerned, and I think that's why I'm unable to sleep that well. I forget to eat, even though I'm home and I'm a few feet away from the fridge. Maybe that's a good thing. I'm just not hungry because I'm feeling the stress. I don't feel doomed because of my faith. I mean, I know we're going to get through this. I'm not only hopeful, I know that there's a power certainly much stronger than COVID-19 who will get us through this.
Those were the voices of Joshua Sirotiak, Monique Ortiz, Ariel D'Andrea, Hannah Nee, Andrew Sampek, Carmen Aguirre, Stephanie Saravia, Laurencia Wariastami, Lindsay Sherbarth, Angela Johnston, and Gabe Graben produced that story. Special thanks to Sona Avakian, Christopher Agusa, Julia Linus Goodman, Holly J. McDeed, Lee Romney, Joshua Sirotiak, and Sarah Lee Sterland for contributing to that story. And before we go, we wanted to let you know we are currently accepting applications for our Audio Academy training program. So if you want to learn how to make radio, become a better storyteller, and serve your community all at once, apply. Find out how at klw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.